Thanks very much, Johnny. Appreciate that. Lovely singing, choir. Really enjoyed that. Just want to thank you again for all your kindnesses extended to us while we've been here. It's again been a brief visit, but it's been very, very rich in fellowship indeed. I'd like to welcome all those who are hearing by radio. I'll tell you I had an interesting experience as walking down the halls of the hospital through the week. I had a lady call for me out of her room down the corridor and say, are you the fellow I heard on the Spanish Wells radio station on Sunday? I said, yes, ma'am. Well, I just want to thank you. I was sitting in bed sick, and they had to bring me down to Nassau from Spanish Wells, and I just want to thank you. So all those listening, if that lady is listening this evening, I'm glad to see that you're feeling a little bit better, dear sister. Turn with me, please, in the Bible to the book of Haggai, Old Testament, one of what they call the minor prophets, but their message is nothing minor at all. It has very applicable value to today. The book of Haggai, you'll find it between the two Zeds, Zephaniah and Zechariah. The book of Haggai, and we'll begin reading at the first chapter and the fourth verse. It is time for you, O ye that dwell in your paneled houses, and this house to lie in waste. Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye have eat, but have not enough. Ye drink, but are not filled with drink. Ye clothe yourselves, but there is none warm. And ye have earned wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Father, again, we thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee for its veracity, its infallible truth. We thank thee that it is settled forever in heaven. We thank thee that it shall be the yard rule by which all men will be judged. But more than this, Father, we thank thee for the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray as we look into thy word this evening, we would consider the great truths that are found therein. And inevitably each and every one will point to Christ himself. And we pray, Father, that our hearts would be stirred and that our appetites would be wet to see this one who is altogether lovely. To see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. We, Father, would remember that John, when he saw him in that great vision on the Isle of Patmos, simply fell before him. And, Father, we would pray that our hearts would fall before thee in worship this evening, saint and sinner alike, that all would see the Lord Jesus Christ in his radiant beauty. These things we simply and humbly ask in the name, which is above every name, the name one day to which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. The name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning we looked at the personal nature of our salvation, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself calls us and he says, come unto me. This evening, we're going to take a little bit of time and look at six places in the Word of God where we are directed to consider something. Seems everybody wants our ear these days. Everybody wants to tell us about something. But the Word of God has, at least in six places, several more, but only six for tonight's purposes, things that it wants the heart of man to comprehend. You know, after all, the only thing that God has ever required of man throughout any dispensation is simply this, that he know and understand God. Doesn't matter whether it was the age of innocence in the garden or the day of grace today. What is required of every single man, woman, and child is that you know and understand God. In the will of the Lord, through this evening, we'll look at six places that will help us get to that understanding. The first thing that we read this evening is this: consider your ways. Now, Haggai is an interesting prophet. We don't have much time to get into him, but his name is very interesting. His name actually means festive, or joyful, or exuberant, or overflowing. And it's interesting how staid, and how firm, and how level-headed his book is. Interesting with a name like that. And he tells us, he says, consider your ways. Where are you going in this world? You know, it seems that we prepare for everything. Everything is planned out. I'll tell you, this weekend is quite a handful for me. I spent the better part of Saturday morning, not to mention Friday night, seeing different individuals who were unwell. And I ran from the office to the airport, and I caught a plane. And that plane took off in some pretty dark skies. Thankfully, the pilot got us here, and got us here quite well, I might add. And we landed, and then a smiling face was there to meet me with a taxi, and took me to a boat. And when we got off the boat, we came to Spanish Wells, and there was supper, and then there was bed, and then there was morning, and there was a message, and the Lord's Supper. A little bit of study this afternoon, and another message, and Lord willing, if he has tomorrow the sun to rise, we'll be off again, and we'll catch a plane from here to Nassau, and then from Nassau to Orlando to another conference. There's a very little gap in time there in the airport, so if you think of it this evening, you can pray that the Lord would allow the plane to arrive on time. And we seem to plan for everything, and every minute of every day is full. We have schedulers and planners and PDAs and all sorts of things. And the Bible simply tells us, just stop for a minute, okay? And consider where you're going. There was a great preacher in the Midwest in the latter part of the 19th century by the name of Mr. Finney. And I came across his testimony not so long ago. He was saved by the man who interviewed him for a job. Very interesting. All you employers out there, maybe you'd like to consider the gospel as part of your interview. But this is how his interview went. He went to the place where he was to be interviewed by the senior partner of a very well-established law firm. And he sat before him, and they went back and forth and bantered and discussed his credentials and all these things. And when everything was settled, the man sat back, the senior man sat back and said, "Now, Mr. Finney, what would you like to come from this meeting here this morning?" Well, Mr. Finney, being a good lawyer, wouldn't miss an opportunity, said very quickly, says, "Well, sir, I'd be very pleased if I were offered a position in your firm." "Very good, Mr. Finney. What then?" He says, "Well, sir, I'm sure I'd work very hard and diligent for you." "Very good, sir. What then, Mr. Finney?" "Well, I'd like to pursue this particular brand of law. I'd like to go down this avenue and establish a good portfolio." "Very good, sir. What then, Mr. Finney?" "Well, sir, you know that I'm not married, and I would like to find a bride. At least my mother would like me to find a bride. And so, that's what I'd like to do." "Very good, Mr. Finney. What then?" Says, "Well, you know, sir, maybe one day I'd like to get to your position." He was getting a little tired of this "what then" question by this point. Says, "Maybe if I'm as established as you are, maybe one day I'll be the senior partner." "Oh, very good, sir. What then, Mr. Finney?" "Well, you know, I guess when I've done all that I can do in my chosen profession, I guess I'd like to retire and enjoy the fruits of my labor." "Very good, Mr. Finney. What then?" Well, says, I guess after my retirement, I'd just like to take things real easy. Very good, sir. What then? Mr. Finney is getting very tired. He says, well, I guess everything will be finished by that point. And then the man stopped and looked at him and says, and what then, Mr. Finney? What then? There's one statistic in this world that has never changed, and to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will never change. Every man, woman, child will be called into the presence of God. What then? Consider your ways. What are you doing with the life that you have? What is your most valuable possession? Is it a watch? Is it a vehicle? What is your most valuable possession? Well, I'll tell you something that you have that you can never, ever get back, and you spend it every single minute of every single day. Time. The Bible clearly tells us, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, the time is at hand now. What are you doing with your life? If it goes on day after day, week after week, month after month, and I'm looking at some of the young people in the back and they're saying, this message seems to be going on. But just stop and think for a second. If you get everything you want, and you possess what you possess, and that beautiful girl or that very handsome man is on your arm, what then? That seem to be filled with food. You drink and you can't satiate the thirst. You earn good wage and you put it into a bag with holes. You came into this world naked and crying, and without Christ Jesus, that's the way you'll go out. Consider your ways. Where does your life as you're living it today take you? What's the end of it? The hymn writer puts it this way, now none but Christ can satisfy. Do you want a hunger, or do you have a hunger that just can't seem to be filled? Part of my training took place in New Jersey in the early part of the 1990s. And around about that time, the richest American man, I guess this was in the day before software, before Mr. Bill Gates took that title, the richest man in the world died, and he was a resident of New Jersey. And they were going through the clippings and papers, had all kinds of things about him, and there were people who were viewing his life on television, and one thing struck me. This is a man now who was incapable of spending the interest on his money. Just think about that for a second. He was making more money than he could put out. He was indeed earning good wages. But I'll suggest to you he was still putting into a bag of holes. A lady commentator had him there on the television. He showed this after his death. She said, look, sir, you have all this. The American public would like to ask you one question. What is it that a man like you could possibly want? Lear jets? Multi-billion-dollar bank accounts? Multi-million dollar homes, cars by the dozens, jewelries to fill up rooms. America wants to know what you want. What is it? And a very stretched voice came back and said this, just a little more. Is there a hunger in your heart this evening that the world just can't seem to fit? Consider your ways. consider your ways. The Bible tells us, Moses actually writes this, one of the meekest men, the Bible says, whoever is it? One of the Psalms that he wrote, he says, we spend our lives, how? As a tale that is told. Now, that's an interesting phrase. It's translated different in different versions, but that's the translation in the King James Version. I don't know if you have such people here in Spanish Wells, but where I come from, we have people that love to tell stories. And sometimes, on the odd occasion, you'll find an individual who loves to tell the same story. Over, 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 over. And it seems that every time you meet these individuals, they want to tell you something, and guess what? They want to tell you that same story. This is the thought here. We live our lives as a tale that is told. The person begins to speak and tell you the story that you've heard many, many times before, and immediately, in a flash, in a second, where does your mind go? Right to the end. And that's the thought there. We live our lives as a tale that is told. God knows the beginning from the end. And it seems in the wink of an eye, we go from youth to strength to age to standing before God. The question comes to you very clearly and very vividly tonight. Consider your ways. Where are you going? Where are you headed? And when you get where you're going, are you going to be happy with what you got? That's the question. Famous lady who'd been married several times, 7 times, said, you know, finding the perfect husband is not the problem. It's wanting him when you get it. And it seems that nothing in this world can satisfy. I traveled many a time down a particular stretch of highway in the country I come from, Canada. And this was in the day when you could advertise cigarettes on billboards. And it simply said this, this particular brand of cigarette is the most satisfying you'll ever have. And you went past the billboard and looked on the other side and it says, have enough. Have you come to the point in life when you really considered where you are, and it just doesn't seem that where you're going will ever give you satisfaction in your soul? Do you know why that is? Because God made you, and without God, you'll never be complete. Without a relationship with your Maker, there will always be a void. There will always be a hole. There will never be satisfaction in this world. No matter how much you try and fill it up with trinkets and toys and bottles, none but Christ can satisfy. We must move on. 1 Samuel chapter 12, please. We're told to consider our ways by Haggai the festive. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. We read this. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. Now the first step to salvation is considering your ways, considering where you stand before God. The next step is considering how great things he has done for you. Gospel in a nutshell has been put this way. For God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not so. Misquoted. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thank God for those two extra letters. It's not that you were just loved of God. You were so loved that there was no limit to God's love. Now you can give without loving, but you can't love, truly love, without giving. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what would happen if you were not to see another soul? Do you know? There is no peace. There is no satisfaction that can exceed the knowledge of sins forgiven, of assurance of heaven, and complete peace with God. Nothing. Nothing is like that. You could have, the Bible talks about sheep or cattle by the thousands on all the hills, and the wealth in every single mine. Nothing can satisfy except the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider how great things he has done for you. For God so loved the world. Psalm 22 says this. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross when he prophetically would say, "Why art thou so far from helping me and the words of my Lord?" God so loved that he put his Son in a position of distance. We need to be very careful when we come to this point, by the way. The Father did not forsake the Son. That is not the language of Scripture. The intimate bond between God the Father and God the Son is intangible to the human mind. The depths of feeling that flow between a Son of God and the Father. But we read very clearly that God forsook the Christ on Calvary's cross for you. And he was so far from the words of his roaring. How great, how good is the God that we adore? Turn over, please, if you would, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Keeping in mind that God so loved that he permitted his Christ to be so far. Psalm 103 and verse 12 says this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Now listen, you want some evidence of the accuracy of the word of God? Well, here's some for you. You'll recall at this time in human history, we thought, at least the best human minds thought, the world was flat. So what difference would it mean if we said as far as north is from the east, or sorry, as far as north is from south versus saying west to east? Well, it's a big difference. Because there's a measurable distance between the North Pole and the South Pole. I ask you this evening, what is the difference between east and west? It's an infinite distance. You can start in your plane and travel east and keep going and keep going and keep going, and no matter how far you go, you can still be traveling east. And you can turn around and head west and the same thing will happen. There is an infinite distance if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening between you and your sins. We talked a little bit about that, the Lord's Supper. The Bible tells us that our sins have been cast into the depths of the sea. John in the coming day saw a new heaven and a new earth, and there was no sin. Do you want to be separated from your sin? Do you want to never be accountable for the sins that you have committed to this point? God offers a way. Consider how great things he has done for you. Our time is flying this evening. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We'll briefly mention this one just for completeness sake and leave it for you to look at it another time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. The Bible tells us these things, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Why are ye anxious for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clotheth the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. The Bible simply says, consider the lilies of the field. You know what? If you're worried about the tangible things, now, we have to know, we have to work to feed ourselves and clothe ourselves. That's not the purpose of what the Word of God is telling us here. What it's saying is if this is the only concern that you have, your priorities are off. You're looking at the wrong thing. The Bible goes on to say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We can't begin to consider the goodness of what awaits us in glory. The descriptions of the wealth that we will have in a coming day because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible simply says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. You want to be rich beyond all wealth? Well, look to the Lord Jesus Christ and be seated in heavenly places. Ezekiel 12 talks about considering where we are in this world. We don't have time to look at that this evening. Our time is gone. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about considering the apostle and high priest of our profession. The apostle is from us to God. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ was a man just like you. He was part of the human race. Yes, in part. The high priest speaks of from God to us, and there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Finally, with the moments that remain, I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And look at the final things that we should consider this evening. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 3, for sake of time, one verse. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him. If you forget everything that's been said this evening, may the Spirit of God burn this phrase into your mind. Consider. Consider. Pilate stood before the people of the day with the Lord Jesus Christ and said, what shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? And the question has echoed down through the ages. And it comes down to a little settlement in a small island in the Bahamas to you today. What will you do with Jesus who is called Christ? When you reach glory and you stand before God, the question will not be asked, how big is your car? How large was your house? How full was your bank account? Question will be asked, what did you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? How will you answer? You know, we think today that the Word of God is receiving less and less response. We're seeing people less and less come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it was the trouble of the day in the Word of God as well. You'll recall Joshua in chapter 24, the last chapter of the book that he wrote. He stood before the children of Israel and he said, whom will ye serve? They'd just come out of Egypt. They'd seen all these miraculous things, and they were still tempted to worship the idols of gold and wood and silver to fit in with the people. Does it sound familiar? Any of this ringing a bell? And the Lord had done mighty things, and they still sought after baubles and trinkets. And Joshua said, "Whom will ye serve?" The answer came back, "We will serve the Lord." Is that your answer tonight? Make no mistake. If you choose not to accept the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, it is not Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel that you are rejecting. It's not the preacher, no one in the choir, or anyone in the elders. You have to look face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and answer to Isaiah stood on Mount Carmel and said to the people, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" That word halt is probably better translated zigzag. How long are you going to flit back and forth? Is that your problem this evening? You seem to come close to the Lord Jesus Christ, convicted by the Spirit, move towards Him, feel the prick in your heart, and by the way, if there's any sensation in your mind or heart this evening towards God, it's not because of the preacher. I guarantee you that. It's because the Spirit of God is working with you this evening. Don't ignore it. There's a very stern warning in Scripture. "My Spirit shall not always strive with the spirit of man." Don't grow a callus on your heart this evening. If the Lord is calling you, take a moment, stop, and consider Him. And Elisha made that cry, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" And you know what the answer was? It says, the people answered him not a word. Is that your response this evening? Will you get up out of your pew and will you walk out that same self door and be engrossed in whatever it is that you have planned for this evening or for tomorrow or for the week or for the month that is to come and forget the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, consider Him tonight. See if He is who He is. If He is, take His offer of salvation. I guarantee you, there is no disappointment in the ranks of the saved when it comes to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, Pilate. He stood before the children of Israel. And he stood before these people with one of their own, the Lord Jesus Christ, at his side. And he says, "Whither of the two will ye that I release unto you, Jesus or Barabbas?" The answer was very simple, and it came back in one word. Barabbas. Release unto us Barabbas. We will not have this man to reign over us. What's your answer to God tonight? Be very, very sure. Be very sure. The answer is to no preacher, to no pastor, to no elder. It's to God Himself. What will you ask? "I will serve the Lord." Or will there be no answer? Or worse still, will there be an active decision in your mind to go out and pursue the world? To go out and to eat and not be filled. Drink and still be thirsty. And earn wages and put them into a bag of holes. Choice is yours. Consider Him who endured such contradiction of sins against Himself. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just ask You this evening that if there be any soul who is grappling with salvation this evening, that thou wilt make the path very clear. Open the way that they may see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's our only hope. He is our only sure foundation for glory. Father, we would close with this. I want Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless for the presence of His glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.